Yeshaya Perek Chof Beit. We learned the first few psukim the previous time, but I would like to quickly review it with the approach of the Malbim and see the whole Nevuah at one time. Masagei Chizoyon, a vision concerning a Nevuah, Masa Nevuah Gei Chizoyon, about the valley of visions, referring to Yerushalayim, where most of the Nevuos were said by Nevi'im who lived in Yerushalayim. There were Nevuos said concerning Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the valley of visions. And we mentioned it's not a valley, it's actually a mountain. But since the Psukim talk about the downfall of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim at a low point, it's referred to as a valley. But the very fact that Yerushalayim is called Gei Chizoyon, the place of Nevuos, which is a complementary term, so Chazal learn that the next words, Malach Eifo, what happened to you now? Ki olis kulach lagagos, that you've all gone up to the roofs, and they try to find a hint in this pasuk that Yerushalayim, that there was the great place of Nevuah, of prophecy, and this pasuk could therefore be referring to the greatness that even at the moment of destruction, the Kohanim went up to the roofs, as we mentioned in the previous shiur, and they threw the keys to Shamayim, and they said, if we're not worthy of guarding the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem, take the keys back. And a hand came out from Shamayim, from the heavens, and took the keys. But the simple, the Pashat explanation of the Pasuk is as if describing there'd be a watchman looking out and observing what's happening at the time of the Churban. And this watchman says, Malach Eifo, he's trying to understand what's going on in Yerushalayim. What happened now? Ki olis kulach lagagos, that everyone's gone up to the roofs. Normally the mighty warriors go out of the city and battle the enemy in front of the city. They don't go onto the rooftops. They wage a war. And it's not because the people are afraid or they're a very peaceful, calm nation they're not able to fight, they don't have strength. But Yeshua's Malaya, it's a city that's been full of commotion. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of doing, a lot of activity. The men are energetic. And it's not that there are few people and therefore they don't go and fight. But Ir HaMiyah, it's a city that tumults, that has a lot of people there. It's a crowded, busy, bustling city. And it's not that they're too busy earning their daily bread, or they're an exposed city and they feel they don't have their shelter and they're afraid of engaging in warfare. But Kirya, this city is Kirya. Kirya is like from the word kir, a wall. It has a wall around it. Kirya, Aliza. And it's an exuberant, happy town where they have plenty, they're successful, they're prosperous. So the question is, right now with them enemies outside, and there's a siege going on, no food is coming in, why don't they go out and fight the enemy while they still have their energy and strength, instead of letting the siege sap their strength and become weaker and weaker? Chalaleich lo chalalei cherev. Those that were killed weren't slain by the sword, which very often happens after the enemy comes into the city, and they kill with the sword. V'lo meisei melchama. And they didn't die in war before the city's capture. They didn't go out to war, and it was just Nebuchadnezzar had a siege around the city, and the people became weaker and weaker from hunger. And eventually, the enemy came in. Kol ketzinayich nodedu yachad. All of your officers wandered off together. Tzidkiyo had, there was a tunnel built under the city of Yerushalayim that the king and his entourage and his closest men tried to escape through the city. And the enemy sent out hunters. They saw a deer, and they were chasing after a deer. And when they caught up with the deer with their bows and arrows, it was right by the entrance from this tunnel, the exit of the tunnel. So the king and all those fleeing Yerushalayim were caught. But kol kitzinayich nadadu yachad. All of your officers wandered off together. Mikeshes usaru. And then they were confined by the bow. They were captured by that bow and arrow of the enemy who was chasing the deer. When they caught up with the deer, it was by the exit of the tunnel. Kol nimsayich usri yachdav. And all those that were found in the city were also confined together, meirochok baruchu, and they had to flee far away. It seems like the Churban just didn't seem to be the normal, logical sequence of events. It was the Yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem, that caused the people to react in an irrational manner. The men should have gone out and fought, instead of just staying on the roofs and looking and watching what's going to be. But it was clearly this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. And as we'll see, the people didn't get the message and they didn't do tshuva, they didn't correct their ways. And therefore it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Alkeinu Marti, therefore I've said, Shu'umini, leave me alone, turn away from me. Amorer Babechi. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to weep bitterly. Normally, very often, a person cries and he's able to release all those pent-up emotions and all of the difficulties, all of the wave of different feelings he has when the tragedy strikes. And he cries, and very often after crying, he feels better. But over here, either the Novi's saying, or as Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's saying, Alkeinu Marti, I've said, Shu'umini, turn away from me. I'm morer babechi. I'm just going to feel the bitterness and more bitter. I'm going to weep bitterly. Al ta'itzu l'nachameni. Don't rush to comfort me. I'll show basami about the suffering, the plunder that's taken place to my nation. And Basami is the daughter of my people. It's a term of endearment. Sometimes Klal Yisrael is referred to as bonim, as sons to Hashem. We're called the vineyard. Ki kerem Hashem tzvokos beis Yisrael. We're like the vineyard of Hashem. But Basami is the tender daughter. That at the moment of the Churban, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just feels Basami for Klal Yisrael as a daughter that has to undergo this tragedy. Kiyom Mahuma, because it's a day of turmoil. As the Malbim learns, before it was conquered, there was already this turmoil going on. Umavusa, and then at the actual moment that the enemy conquered, there was a trampling where the people were killed and stepped on, and the enemy just took over the city. Umevucha. And even after the enemy left, there was a confusion. People wandered into exile. They didn't have their dwelling places were destroyed. Lashem Elokim Tzavakos. And this is a day, Lashem, which is from the word Adon. It's written with an Aleph Dalid. Lashem to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows he's the master. Elohim, but it's written with Yud Kei Vav Kei as a sign of Rachmim, that at the time of Churban, but there's still that mercy HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels to Klal Yisrael. Tzvokos is a term very often used in terms of war, when Hashem gathers together all of his hosts and everything is orchestrated to carry out the will of Hashem. And this is the day of Mahuma, Mevucha, Mevusa, Mevucha. Very similar terms, but a day of just, it's unsettled. There's confusion and the turmoil. Tashem Begei Chizoyon in Yerushalayim. Makarkar Kir. Again, that word kir means a wall. The simple, the Malbim learns makarka or kir. People, let the wall be destroyed. Vishoa el ahar, and they gave shouts, let's go higher up the mountain, higher up the Har Habayis. But the outer city of Yerushalayim, they allowed to be destroyed. As we'll see in a moment, they didn't yet call for the weapons. Ve'elam nasa ashba, the nation of Elam, that had been conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and here came to assist Bavel, and Elam nasa ashba, they carried the quiver that has the arrows in it. Berechev adam paroshim, with a chariot of men, with horsemen. Some learned they needed the extra. There were so many arrows and so many weapons and munitions. They had to use the chariots made for the soldiers to put the weapons on because they came with such an abundant weaponry. So they brought their quivers with the arrows. Vikir could mean to the wall. Aramogin, they pressed their shields to the wall. They came right up close with a shield to protect themselves if anybody should try to shoot down from the wall. Kir also is the name of a place. The Aseres HaShvatim were exiled to Kir. The Kir is mentioned among the exiles. Vikir could be the country or the city. Kir, Eira Mogain, they bared their shields. They exposed their shields. They also came to help out Bavel. So it's clearly not there were alliances and there were people that helped Nebuchadnezzar that we wouldn't have thought would be. And it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's bringing this. And the people in Yerushalayim see what's happening. The Giboyrim, the mighty men, went up to the walls and they're looking, but they're not doing anything. They went up to the rooftops. Vayhi Mivchar Amokayich. And then it was that the choicest of the valleys, Molu Rochev, were filled with chariots. V'haparoshim, and the horsemen, Shos Shosu Hashara, they positioned themselves right out opposite the wall, that they're about ready to enter the city. V'yagal, and it's been already revealed, Es Mosach Yehuda, the shelter of Yehuda. Some learn the meaning of the Beis Hamikdash, that the Beis HaMikdash has already been revealed, that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. Vatabe Bayomahu. And now all of a sudden, Vatabe Bayomahu, you looked on that day, El Neshek Beis HaYoar. So the Neshek is the weapons, Beis HaYoar, that were built in the house of the forest. Shlomo HaMelech, hundreds of years earlier, had built palace, a number of palaces, a place for a chamber of justice, and one of his palace was called Beis Hayar. One explanation is it had a lot of open windows, and there were pillars holding it up. It was on an upper floor, and they had a plentiful breeze. But it was called the Beis Hayar. And over there, Shlomo HaMelech had kept shields, different types, the plain shield that protects the soldier in front of him. There were shields called the tzina that surrounded the soldier on three sides. And here it's like the people are oblivious. They didn't dream that the Churban could happen. How could it be the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's here in Yerushalayim, we're safe. So even though they were doing Averos and they were acting incorrectly and they were doing wrong, but they felt they're safe. And all of a sudden, the valleys have filled up with the chariots. And they see the horsemen outside the city. And the wall's been breached. Vayigali smosach Yehuda, and the protection of Yehuda's been exposed, been revealed. And now, Vatabe Payomahu, and on that day, finally, the people look on that day, El Neshek Beis Hayar, that it's time to figure out, maybe this will be a Churban. Maybe we should fight. And they looked El Neshek Beis Hayar, to the weapons that were kept in Beis Hayar. Ve'es Bekiei Ir David. The cracks that were in the wall of Ir David, the breaches of the city of David, Re'isim you saw, Kirobu, that they were numerous. They now all of a sudden started taking stock and looking over their predicament. And they saw, you know, there's a lot of cracks and breaches. The enemy's going to be able to break through. Vatakabsu, and you gathered, Esmei HaBrecha Tachtona, the waters of the lower pool. There were reservoirs of water outside Yerushalayim. There was an upper reservoir and a lower pool. And what they did was they diverted the waters. We'll see in a moment where they took these waters, the Mei Brecha Tachtona. But they used the water from this Brecha Tachtona. They collected it. And Matsuda says they used that water to make cement. They mixed it with the clay or dirt in order to try to fix the breaches in the wall. Another explanation is Vatakabsu. You gathered all the nation, all the people, Esmei HaBrecha Tachtona, to the place of the lower pool, because you saw over there the city was weaker. And you also, now you realize we better place our forces in the place that's most vulnerable. But now all of a sudden the people are trying to react to their danger. Vespotei Yerushalayim Sefartem. You counted the houses of Yerushalayim. And they would take a look, and if somebody had more than one house, they would tell the owner, well, one house is going to have to be used for supplies. And they tore down the house. Vatisitsu habotim. And you smashed down some of those houses. You demolished them. Levatzer hachoma. In order to reinforce the wall. Or could be they looked at different neighborhoods where there were extra houses that could be used for supplies. They demolished the wall and those houses, and they took the stones to help fortify the wall. Umikvoa sisem, and you made a mikvah, is a gathering of water. And you made a gathering of water bein hachomosayim, between the walls. There was actually two walls surrounding Yerushalayim. It's mentioned in Eicha also, Vayavel, Chel, Vechoma. There was a higher wall and a lower wall. But in between the walls, you made a gathering of water. Sometimes that's done that if the enemy breaks through the first wall, they're not able to work on the second wall because there's a water, there's deep water in between, a moat. So after breaking through the first wall, then all of a sudden there's too much water below, so they can't get through the second wall. So you gathered water in between the walls. Or others say they diverted the water supply between the walls so the enemy wouldn't have what to drink. But umikva asisem bein hachomosayim, you made a gathering of water between the walls. Lemei habrecha hayishona, you took the waters of the old pool. Velohi batatem eloseho, but while you did all of these preparations, you didn't look eloseho, to the one who's doing this. As you're looking at the symptoms and not the sickness and not the force behind it, you're looking at the enemy that's outside the wall without realizing who sent the enemy. Velohi batatem eloseho, you didn't gaze to the one who's done it. Viotzro, and the one who created it, meaning either the one who created Yerushalayim or the one who created this Gezerah, the Yotzro Meirachok, what was created long ago, Lo Re'isem, you didn't see. The Malbim says, there's a difference between Oseh and Yotzer. There's a difference between Habata and Re'iyah. Re'iyah means you look at something quickly. Habata is you gaze and you study and you try to discern all of the details. Yotzra is the one who creates it. He creates a certain shape, a certain image. Osa is the one who's made it. He's completed it. It's made. It's finished. When the Gezeirah is coming and the enemy is coming and you see there's punishment on its way, that's the Yotzra, the one who's created. You see the outline. You see there's something from Hashem here. the Yotzra, you see the outline, Lo Re'isem, and the people didn't see it. Then there's when the punishment is complete. The enemy's right outside the wall with all of the chariots, and the wall's been breached, and there's no way the people can fight back. And Nebuchadnezzar has other countries helping him out, and it's Oseho, it's complete. And then at that point, you should have had a habota. Not just you should have realized it was Hashem. You should have been able to see how every single detail of the Churban is Mida Kenegan Mida, and it's so clearly the Yad Hashem. So the Pasuk says, V'lo hibatetem el Oseho. You didn't look toward the one who made it happen, but with an intense look. V'yotzrome rocho glori isem. And the one who formed it way back, this was either means that the Nevi'im talked about a Churban much before it happened. There was a warning that if they don't do tshuva, there'll be a Churban. It could also mean Yerushalayim. That Yerushalayim, Chazal say, there were seven things that Radak brings down. Seven things were created before the world. And the reason is, as the Radak explains, because the purpose of the world is for these things. Gan Eden, Torah, the third thing he mentions, Tzadikim, Yisrael, the Kisei HaKavod, Yerushalayim, and Mashiach ben David. That when before Hashem made the world, for instance, taking the last example, before Hashem made the world, the plan was that there should be a world where everybody recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and serves Him. There was a plan for Mashiach. So it's not after the world is made, then Hashem decides there should be a Mashiach. This was before the world was made, because the plan was the world should reach its shleimus, its completion. And the same thing with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was not an afterthought, but Yerushalayim, the whole purpose of the world is to have a place of Kedusha. That as complete as the world will be, there's a place that's holier than the rest, which is Yerushalayim. So V'yotzrome Rochok, Yerushalayim that Hashem formed from way back, Lo Re'isem, you didn't even notice that Hashem has special plans and a special way we should live. Hashem wants there to be a Yerushalayim. And yet they allowed the Churban to happen. Vayikro Hashem Elokim Tzvokos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again showing His Adnus, the fact that He's a master. Ad Hashem with the Aleph Dalet. Elokim and with the Rachamim, Yudkei Vovkei. Tzvokos. That Hashem is guiding and controlling the hosts, all the different forces. And Hashem called out by Yom HaHu on that day, on the day of the Churban, Hashem called out and He said, Livachi, people have to take it to heart, they have to cry, they have to do tshuva, right at the time of the Churban, let them grab the moment and do tshuva, there should be Livachi, crying, Ula Mispeid, a eulogy, is when there's a tragedy, Lo Aleinu, if somebody dies, the people gather together and they try to focus on what the loss of this person means. There's crying is one thing. A hesped is to try to learn from this person. What is the vacuum of not having him amongst us? What does that mean? That's what a hesped is. And Hashem says, that's part of tshuva, to take stock of what we have, what we stand to lose, to make a mispeid, ula korcha. And in terms of doing tshuva, of course, it's usur to pull out his hair. Lo sasimu korcha b'nei nechem lo meis. He can't pull out his hair over a mace. But here, as a sign of tshuva, the person should feel the anguish ula korcha. There should be bald spots from his total soul searching and from his remorse over his ways. And he should put on sackcloth and try to minimize his comfort and try to express his anguish and his suffering over his deeds. That's what Hashem would have wanted. But behold, it was not at all like that. There was Sason and Simcha. The Malbim learns that Sason is an expression of joy, dancing. That's all a Sason. Simcha is the internal joy. You can sit back and look and just smile to yourself and feel a Simcha. And Sason is when you express it. And now instead of the people feeling bad and upset, before the Churban happened, Vinei Sason v'Simcha. There was partying. There was rejoicing. Harog Bokar. They were slaughtering cattle. V'Shachotzon. And slaughtering sheep. They were shechting all different types of animals. The beef. And the tzon. The veal. And the sheep. Ochol Bosar. Because there was eating meat. V'shasos yoyin, and drinking wine. Ochol v'shaso. People said, eat and drink. Ki mochar nomus. For tomorrow we will die. It was as people felt the Churban's coming, and they felt it's hopeless, they're not going to be able to do anything about it. And therefore they were eating and drinking. Ki mochar nomus. For tomorrow we will die. The Gemara says in Tainis, on Daf Yud Aleph Omid Aleph, Bizman Shat Tzibur Shorui Bitzar, when the Tzibur feels pain, when the community feels pain, Al Yomar Odom, a person shouldn't say, Eilech Lebesi, I'll go to my house, V'ochel, I'll eat Vesh, and I'll drink, V'shalom Alecha Nafshi, and everything will be fine with me. Vim Osa Kain, if he does that, Olav HaKosuv Omer, about such a person, the Pasuk says, V'hinei Sason V'simcha, and it brings our Pasuk here. There's rejoicing, Harog Bokar V'shachotzon, Ochol Basar V'shosos Yayin, there's eating meat, drinking wine, Ochol V'shosos Kimocher Namus. Maksiv Basrei, and what's the next Pasuk? When people have such an attitude, the next pasuk says, "V'niglova oznoi." This is revealed in my ears, Kaviyachol. Hashem says, "I hear this." Hashem Tzvakos. Hashem Tzvakos says, "I hear this." Im yechupar ha'avon hazelochem. If this sin will be atoned for you, ad temusun, until you die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "There's not going to be a kapara until they die." Chazal learned out, this is an example of a Chilul Hashem, that even Yisurim, Yom Kippur and Shuva and Yisurim don't help to be Machaper, because this is a Chilul Hashem, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is bringing punishment, and it's as if the people don't care. And they're parting, and they said, go ahead, Kimochar Nomus, tomorrow we'll die anyways, who cares? Im Yechupar Ha'ovon Hazel Lachem Atzmusun. That this sin won't be forgiven ad tmusun, until you die. Amar Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. So says Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. The Targum says, ad tmusun, until you die. The words are adi semusun mosa, until you die a death, tinyona, a second death. Meaning in Olam Haba, there'll still be punishments. But such an attitude is from the worst attitudes possible. And yet it's funny. The Gemara says in Tainis on Daf Yud Aleph, Ad kan midas beinonim. This seems to be the midah of beinonim, regular, ordinary people. And as Rashi said, that they're at least aware of the fact that tomorrow they're going to die. They at least are thinking of the end. They're reacting in the wrong way, but they at least are aware of death. But the Gemara brings another pasuk, also in Yeshaya and Perek Nun Zayin. It says, "Esoyu ekcha yayin." The people said, "Let's bring wine, v'nisba sheichar, and we'll be satiated with strong drink." And it should be this way tomorrow also. It's as if they're not even thinking. of the fact that eventually they won't be living forever. They're partying, and the worst are thinking, tomorrow they'll also party. At least over here, they're thinking of the next day. They're thinking, Kimochar Namus. I just want to take a look at another Gemara. I don't see it on the shelf now, but in Pirkei Avos, in the second Perek, it says, V'alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmacha. A person shouldn't view himself as a Rasha. And over there the Rambam says, and Rabbeinu Yonah elaborates, it says in Pirkei Avos, in the second Perek, Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmacha, a person shouldn't view himself as a Rasha. And Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam explain that if a person considers himself to be a Rasha, he has Yush, he gives up. A person's confronted with a challenge, and if a person feels he's no good, he can't expect better from himself, he's a failure, he has no hope for him, he's a lost case. If a person feels that way, he doesn't feel the drive to try to improve and to do what's right. It would seem that that perhaps is the attitude of these. On one hand, the Gemara calls them Beinonim, the average approach that a person knows, Kimochar Namus, he's not going to live forever. And yet he's not able to arouse himself and to correct himself. It could be blamed on a low self-esteem. If the person felt that he was a good person, intrinsically he's good. And Chazal say the truth is a person should view himself as Mechtza Zakai and Mechtza Chayev, half innocent, half guilty. He's got good, he's got bad, he's right on the border, and what he does right now is going to affect whether he tilts the scale for good or for bad. If a person felt that way, he wouldn't have the attitude, Kimochar Namus, tomorrow we're going to die. But the person who doesn't feel, if he feels that he himself is a Rasha, he feels that he can't overcome his Yetzirah, he can't do good, and he's done so many things wrong in the past, it's not going to make a difference. He's done so much wrong, what's the difference what he does now? But that's wrong. The Mishnah warns us in Pirkei Avos, and these are lessons that are learned from Tanakh and from Chazal, but it says in Pirkei Avos, Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmcha, you can't view yourself as a Rasha. And here the Pasuk stresses that the people saw the Churban coming, and yet they didn't feel that they should change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted lebichi u lemisbeid u lekorcha velachkor suk to feel, to express the tshuva, to feel the tshuva, and to do whatever is possible to give that feeling. And yet the people were partying. Now we're going to go into a different subject, which is interesting that it was the printers placed it in the same perek, Yeshaya Chaf Beis, but till now we dealt with Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban, and now we're also dealing with Yerushalayim under siege, but we're focusing on a different aspect. We mentioned, it was discussed in Yeshaya Perek Ches, it's come up before, but at the time of Chizkiyo HaMelech, there was another leader of the people. He was a manager, he had a position, his name was Shevna. And Shevna, in fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Chof Vov, Shevna havadorish bitleisa ravavosa. When Shevna gave a drasha, he had 13 10,000s, meaning 130,000 people. Chizkiah and the king Chizkiah, who was the Godol Hador, Havadorish Bechadsar Ravosa, he only had 11 10,000s. He only had 110,000. So he had even a smaller shear, smaller group of people. Kiosa Sancheiriv. When Sancheiriv came, Vitzor alod Yerushalayim, and he laid siege to Yerushalayim. I'm reading the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chav Vav. Kosav Shevna Piska. Shevna wrote a note, and he attached it to an arrow. shot a gear and he shot the arrow outside of the city. And that, and the note said, Shevna v'siyato hishlimu. Shevna and his group are ready to make peace with Sancheiriv. Before, we were actually talking about the Churban in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. This is earlier, also dealing with Yerushalayim, but when we were under siege from Sancheiriv, from the Assyrian Empire. And the note said, Shevna and his group made peace. Chizkiv v'siyato lo hishlimu. Chizk and his group don't make peace. But you should know when you capture the city, we're not all your enemies. Shevna and his group are with you. That was what the note says. We'll come back to this Gemara. But let's start Pasuk Tezvav. Ko Amar Hashem Elokim Tzavakos. So says Hashem Elokim Tzavakos. Lech bo, go and approach El Hasochein Hazeh. Approach the manager, Al Shevna, Shevna Asher Al Haboyis, who's in charge of the house. Either he's in charge, the Shevna was in charge of the royal house. The Gemara, the Psukim discuss him as a Kesher, a Shoim. There was a mutiny, a group of people that were in Chizkiah's household. They were in Yerushalayim. Some learn Asher al Haboyis, meaning he was in charge. Rashi says he was Memunah on the Beis Hamikdash. Either he was a manager in the Beis Hamikdash, maybe he was even the Kohen Gadol, some suggest. But this Shevna was a powerful person, either in the Beis Hamikdash, or he was in Chizkiyo's house, household. And he would darshan, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he would give a drasha with a larger crowd than Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And now Yeshayah is told, Lech bo el hasochein hazeh. Go to this manager. Al Shevna Asher al Haboyis. Go to this person, Shevna. And say to him, where do you get the audacity to go ahead and turn to the enemy and tell them that you're on the enemy's side? And it's only Chizkiyo who's against Sancheiriv. Malachafo, what do you have over here? Do you have any rights to Yerushalayim? Is the city yours? How can you surrender to Sancheiriv? Malachafo, what do you have over here? Umilachafo. And who do you have? Is anyone in your family from the Chashuvim of the city? Or do you as an individual are against Chizkiyo? And this Shevna was so confident of his prominence that they have Kivrei Melochim, there are places where the kings are buried. And Shevna went ahead and he made a place for himself. He reserved the burial plot right among the kings. Among all the big tzaddikim and the big leaders, there is Shevna. He went ahead, and he cut out of the rock a burial place for himself. Chotzvi morom kivro. You dig on the high place, your kever, high up where people can see it. Rashi says, in kivrei beis David, to be among the kings. Chokiki basela mishkan lo. You carve out in the rock a place where he can dwell, a place where his body will remain. And Hashem says, Hine Hashem mital telcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to cause you to wander. Tal tela gover. Either means a wandering that's intense. Gover could be a man, like a man who throws something and he casts it to a distance with force. Tal tela gover. You're going to be moved around with an intense wandering. You won't have any peace. Another explanation, Taltela Gover, means men find it a lot harder to move and to be dislocated, and women have an easier time to change their surroundings. Not that it's necessarily easy for them, but men find it harder. You, Shevna, are going to find a Taltela Gover, like the moving of a man. Or a third possibility, Gever also means a rooster. Hashem nasan asech vi vina, But gover refers to a rooster. Taltela gover, the rooster that constantly wanders around and is always on the move within his coop. But the taltela gover va'otcha oto, and your enemy will cause you va'otcha oto. You'll be like flown to a distance, like a I'll send you circling afar, like a vulture that circles and that travels and that goes to a far distance. Tsonof yitznofcha, shevna, you are going to be surrounded, snefa, like a turban. But it's all the same shoresh. Tsonof yitznofcha, snefa, a turban that's wrapped around and around and around the head. Kadur, either like a wall that's around, or like a ball, kadur, like a ball that's thrown from one place to another, el eretz rachavas yodoyim, to an open land where there's nothing that stops the propulsion of this ball, but he's thrown far away. Shama samus. There, in Golus, outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yushevna will die. The Shama markavos kvodecha. And there, you'll have the chariots of your honor, Kelon Beis Adonecha, because you're the disgrace of your master's house. You, Shevna, are such a disgrace to Chizkiyo. There you'll take all of your imaginary honor, all your chariots, and you'll find yourself outside of Eretz Yisrael and Golus, wandering around. Others learn v'shama markavos kvodecha. What right now you consider kolon beis adonecha in your master's house, what is below your dignity, what's a humiliation, what's the kolon right now in the household of Chizkiyo, when you find yourself in Golus, and you have that, if you would have that same thing, it would be the greatest honor. What right now is a disgrace, in those days will be an honor. V'shama markavos kvodecha, you'll consider your chariots of honor, Kolon Beis Adonecha, right, what right now is a disgrace. There's a Marsha on this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Vav. On Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Leich Boel HaSochen HaZeh, when it says come to this manager, the word Sochen has another connotation. Uchsiv Hosam Usehilo Sochenes. When Avishag HaShunamis was given to David HaMelech, he uses the term sochenes, to warm a person, meaning to be involved in all types of pleasures and to become heated up, and to enjoy this world. It's a term used for hanos of Olam Hazeh. The Gemara says, Shevna Baal Hanoah Hoya. This person, Shevna, was involved in having hanoah and in having pleasure in this world. It is a marsha that whenever seeing such a chazal, it really gives a person a pause. It's a reminder for all those aspiring to become Talmidei Chachamim. But the marsha says on this Gemara, Baal hanoah lefi shehayah Shevna Talmid Chacham. What the Gemara is bothered is, if Shevna was a Talmid Chacham, umelamei Torah barabim, and he taught Torah to the multitudes. He gave a tremendous shiur, a lecture in front of 130,000. Kimasuper mimenu, shoyadorish b'tleisa ravavosa, v'alkein nikra shevna hasofer, and therefore elsewhere in Tanakh, he's called Shevna hasofer, the scribe, kmo Ezra hasofer. The Marsha says just like Ezra, the great Ezra is called Ezra hasofer, Shevna was given that title. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So now the Gemara is explaining. V'omar sha'al tisma mashik ziyach tavshilo kol kach barabim. Don't be in wonderment. How could it be he made such a public chilo Hashem and he went so bad and so off course that he turned against Chizkiyo and he went to make peace with Sancheiriv? Sharei kvar heyrelov hakosuv, because the Torah tells you the answer. The Novi here It says, Leich bo el hasochein hazeh, in Pasuk Tezvav. Go to the person who is the sochein, al shem shehoya baal hana'a. And the Marsha says, because he was involved in his pleasure. V'omar, Chazal already told us, b'mi ha-Torah miskayemes, b'mi shememis atzmo aleha, v'lo b'vale hano'os. The Torah lasts by the ones who kill themselves over it, literally, figuratively, however the Chazal has explained. But those that are not involved in pleasures, and this Shevna, as great as he was in Torah, was Alasochein Hazeh, he was involved in enjoying this world, involved in pleasures. The Navi continues in Pasuk Yudtes, V'hadav ticha. These words are as if the Navi is quoting Hashem. V'hadav ticha, I will oust you, I'll push you away, mimatzavecha, from your position. And now the umi ma'amodcha yeher secha. This, by the way, is the words of the Novi. Sometimes in a prophecy, it switches back, the Novi speaking as Hashem, the Novi speaking, quoting Hashem, or speaking from Hashem's perspective. The first two words were like Hashem saying, I will cast you out. V'hadavticha, I will oust you. Mimatzavecha, from your position. Umimamodcha, and from your post, yeher secha, he, meaning Hashem, he will bring you down. V'hoyo bayomahu, and it will be on that day, v'karosi la'avdi. Hashem says, I will call my servant, Lel Yokim ben Chilkiyahu, I'm going to call somebody, El Yokim ben Chilkiyahu, and he will take the position of prominence that Shevna has at the moment. V'hil bashtiv kutantecha, and I will dress him kutantecha, in your special clothing, if we're referring that he was in the Beis Hamikdash. The kesonis was worn by the Kohanim. If it means that he was a position in Chizkiyahu's government, it means the nice clothing. But I'll dress him in the clothing that you would wear. You, Shevna. Your clothing will now be worn by Eliakim. And with your belt, I'll strengthen him. He'll gird the belt on. And your memshalah, your dominion, the rulership that you have, I'll give into his hand. But his attitude to the people won't just be like you. Shevna wants to surrender to the enemy because he feels that he's going to gain from it. But Eliakim will be like a father, Leyoshev Yerushalayim, to those that live in Yerushalayim, will Leveis Yehuda, and to the house of Yehuda. He'll be the one to support Malchus Beis David. He'll care for the people. Not like Shevna. V'nosati mafteach Beis David al shichmo. Shevna, and now Eliakim. Eliakim will have the keys to Malchus Beis David. He'll have it on his shoulder. He'll have it with him. Ufosach vein soger. He'll open the door and nobody will close it. V'sogar vein poseach. And if he closes it, nobody will open it. He will have the absolute control. He'll be the one who's trusted and the one to care. Uskativ yosei b'mokum neman. And I will affix him as a peg b'mokum neman, in a secure place. V'hoyo l'chisei kovod. And he will be as a throne of honor l'veisoviv, to his father's house. There'll be a permanence by Eliakim ben Chilkiyo. V'solu alov kol kvod beis oviv. All of the honor in his father's house will all be hanging on him. Everybody will depend and will hang their honor that they're related to him, they have a connection with him, they know Eliakim. The whole household will hang their honor on his peg. They'll all be dependent on him. V'solu alov kol kvod beis oviv. All of the honor of his father's house. Hatzeh tzoim v'hatzfios. It means the children in Tzvios also means, either means the grandchildren or it means the daughters. Tzetzoim means those that come out, those that are descended, those that come out from him. But it's a term that even the most insignificant, the Tzetzoim and the Tzvios, the younger ones, the little ones, they'll all be dependent on him. Kol Klei HaKotan, and every small article will be hanging on, the peg will be dependent on El Yokim. Miklei HaAgonos, from the different types of bowls, Va'ad Kol Klei HaNevolim, to the different stringed instruments. The simple meaning is, I guess they had bowls that had a little hook at the end or something, like they could be hung up. I guess like in these big kitchens, you got the pots and the pans, everything hangs from a peg. But the clay or gonos can be hanging from his peg, the way the instruments hang from his peg. But if we learn that Shevna and Eliyakim were talking about Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, it could be a reference that the Kohanim Gedolim, who used the bowls when they took for the blood of the karbanos, the Levim had the stringed instruments, the clay on a volume. It's a term of saying everyone, from the greatest to the most minor, from the clay hagonos, from the Kohanim who used those types of bowls, to the Levim who used the clay on a volume, the stringed instruments, everything will be dependent not on Shevna, but on El Yokim. By Yomahu, on that day, Ne'um Hashem Tzvokos, says Hashem, Tomush HaYoseid. The peg of Shevna that has been affixed, Tatzkur B'Mokum Nemon, that till now was in a secure place, will now be moved. V'nigda'a, will be cut off, v'noflin, will fall. V'nichras HaMasa Asher Olov, and all the burden, everything, that the load that was placed on it, will be cut off, ki Hashem diber. So Hashem has spoken that Shevna will get his punishment and El Yokim will take his place. Incidentally, I heard this pshat from my Rebbe Rav Pam, but he used to say the brocha that's given to a chas and kala, they should be zoichet to be boina bayis nemon be Yisrael, is like we see in these psukim, it's mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh. Nemon is something faithful, it means something permanent, something secure. It's tekua b'mokum nemon. So bayis nemon means they should be zochet to a true house, means a house that has a permanence, that there should be descendants and children, and they should, their family should become an integral part and a lasting part in Klal Yisrael. Over here, Shevna, who did wrong and turned against Chizkio, is told that his peg will be removed, he'll be destroyed, and Eliyakim ben Chilkio will take his place.